Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether it's online or on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. I'm Michael, along with James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
You know how this is going to go. I'm just doing my thing. Max to the Max Johnson. Wait a minute. Wait, is that what that is?
No, it's Gumbo.
Max Gumbo Johnson.
I thought it was Tarmac. No, I'll stick with Gumbo. I'll stick with Gumbo.
It's Gumbo Johnson.
I like it. Max.
You got lucky.
Yeah, I did. I'll take that any day.
How you doing, man?
Carpe diem.
Seize the afternoon.
The day.
Matt, the patron saint of quality outerwear. We've never needed you more than we've needed you in the last couple of days.
Ain't that
come right. Out from underneath your outerwear, man. How's it going?
Hi.
Yeah. Always a mystery man. The greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. That is Adam Jolly Rogers.
Adam the Bomb.
What language Rogers. Is he going to speak in?
Ahoy, sexy.
Oh, God. A language I don't know.
Look, we can hear him this week.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Got a little closer.
Is that a good thing?
No. I like it.
A revelation. Like
it. So here we are, guys, back again, man. It's been a little while.
Well, a week.
it's been a week to certain people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're listening, this is actually our first time back after the new year. This is our first time recording in 2014.
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
like the very first time.
You never forget your first time, do you?
It feels like the first time.
Feels like the first time. It feels like the very first time.
Max got it. Thank you, Max.
Nice. All right, man. So here we are, guys. Just so you know, or if you don't yet know, perhaps you stumbled upon us by chance.
Sure.
Right? This is the show where we pull selected films from Netflix Instant. We watch them. We show up here at Jolly Roger Studio. We tell you what we thought. And as I say, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but always with flavor. If you want to keep up with us, here's how you do that. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have iTunes. Anywhere, really. You search the Q Filmcast. There we are. So we love feedback, guys. Let us know what you think.
And the website.
I tested you. There you are.
The
you
website.
Up, you delivered.
TheQFilmcast.net.
See how he said .net?
.net.
So
always .net.
What you're saying is it's the QFilmcast.net.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
That's exactly the way it's heard.
That's what he said.
I love it.
Symmetry, people.
That is symmetry. Hey, Hoodie, this is episode what? What do you think this is?
90.
90? No. I put you on the spot.
24?
I want to put your feet to the fire. I want to see what you'd say. This is episode
close.
Episode 26, guys.
Oh, I was going to say 27.
We're starting out 2014 on episode 26.
That's 6 months, half a year.
That's
exactly half a year.
Yeah.
And it took half a year to get here. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Wait a second. If you add that up, we longer. Started this show exactly in the middle of 2013. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
That's amazing to me. That's symmetry.
How is that amazing?
That is symmetry right there.
That's what's called cleavage.
Cleavage?
What? Cleavage?
Cleavage, yes. Cleavage, the technical term is cleavage. That's where you hit a rock or a schist, and it's cleavage.
A schist?
Yeah, that's the type.
That's what they kill you with.
Holy crap, I think Max read a book. We get it, Max. You read a book.
It's called geology, folks. Look into it.
All right, so that is it. Episode 26. Here we are. Here we sit. And this is the Francis Ha episode.
Ha.
Ha. Whoa, sorry.
Ha.
I got a little ambitious there.
Who picked this?
Let's talk about that. I'm going to go with this as a Matt Saint Hoodie pick. Hoodie, why'd you pick this?
Hi. I've always wondered how to pronounce the word DeKalb. Is it DeKalb or DeKalb?
Why are you asking that
There's
question?
A road in New York called DeKalb, or is it DeKalb? Because in New York, you also have Houston. It's pronounced Houston.
It's called Houston.
And if you pronounce it Houston, girls will leave you for lesser men.
I've made that mistake.
I was like
here in Nashville, it's Lafayette Street, but it's not Lafayette Street. It's Lafayette. It's one word.
Obviously. How about Demon Bruin Street?
Demon Bruin. Demumbrian.
Demumbrian.
Or what Lebanon kind of and Lebanon.
Right.
Lebanon. It kind of reminds me of the time a girl moved here and we had her convinced that Kroger was K. Rogers. And Kenny Rogers owned all the grocery stores in town.
That sounds like something you would do.
All right, so this is the Francis Ha episode. And by the way, you know, we talk about, is it Houston in New York? That's where the
I know it's Houston. Yeah, I just want to know if it's DeKalb or DeKalb.
I don't know, but I can tell you this. It's, that Soho in New York is south of Houston. That's where that comes from. Yeah.
You mean south of Houston?
See, I just screwed up.
Holy smokes.
South of Houston. I feel like the biggest tool on the planet right now. I set myself up. I stepped into my own problem.
Those Yankees.
Shut
Houston.
Up. Shut
is that
up.
What that smell is? Your own problem?
No, that's Max's problem.
That's all your problem now.
All right, back on track, guys. Let's talk about this. This is Francis Ha, picked by the patron saint of quality outerwear, Matt St. Hoodie. He's going to get us going for 2014. And this film stars Greta Gerwig, Mickey Sumner, who looks nothing like what she did in this film, Adam Driver. And it's directed and written by Noah Baumbach. There's your film, Matt. So there you go. Why'd you pick this film? What was it that made you want to queue up?
I told you,
Francis
DeKalb.
DeKalb. That can't be your answer.
I really want somebody to tell me this.
It's DeKalb. Move on.
Other than that, why did you pick it?
Yeah,
Max and Adam and I saw this at the Fancy Pants Belcourt and thought it was pretty good. It kind of echoes Woody Allen with the black and white New York. It just needs some.
Je ne sais quoi?
Bernstein.
Bernstein.
Is it Bernstein? Oh, Gershwin. Bernstein over
there you
it.
Go.
You know what I'm talking about? So,
yeah,
so it's got some really sharp dialogue, and I love Greta Gerwig. I'm in love with her.
That's
awesome.
Why.
I love her.
Do you know that you cannot...
It's a crush. It's a hoodie crush.
Well,
yes,
that's
why I picked it.
She's off the market,
yeah.
I know.
But you do know.
I'm plotting against Noah Baumbacher.
Yeah. Baumbacher. Just wait. She'll hear this. And
Bumbog.
She'll break it off. She'll be available.
That's why I actually picked this. Is to confess my love to Greta Gerwig.
It's all part of a bigger scheme.
Right. It's a conspiracy.
It's a hoodie
That's
plan.
Beautiful. Well, listen, speaking of Greta Gerwig, I think I'm with you. Do you know that you cannot spell the word great without Greta? Did you know that? It's impossible.
Wow.
I'm not
it's
surprised.
Impossible. And that's not coincidental. Yeah, so like you're really into Greta Gerwig. You thought this performance was fantastic. It popped up on Netflix, all these things, plus your deal with DeKalb.
DeKalb.
Got to talk about this film, right? All right, so let's get into this just a little bit here, guys. Actually written by Noah Baumbach. Am I saying that right? I never say anybody's name right.
Baumbach.
Gerwig.
Baumbach.
Sounds like the law offices of Gerwig and Baumbach.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Greta Gerwig, what is she known for? Adam, you might know a couple of these. What's one film that you reference when you think of Greta Gerwig?
He's looking it up. I see his fingers
he's
clicking.
Not, he's not cheating. He would never do that.
He's a producer. He has the ability to cheat.
I have never seen a movie she's been in.
Oh,
she was in House of the Devil.
Really?
Really? Wait, what?
House of the Devil. Did
I
you see that, Max?
Yeah, I did see that.
Savage, you see House of the Devil?
No, I've never seen this girl in anything.
She's also known for Greenberg, which is
That's
another
That's where I first saw her.
That's
yeah.
the first time I saw her, and I thought, this girl, she has some. In a presence, I'd like to see her again. So, Savage, you brought up a muse. This may be Baumbach's muse.
Well,
I don't like that guy.
Good on him, then.
And she was also in No Strings Attached. Anybody see No Strings Attached?
Nope.
Mickey Sumner also plays in this film, and she's the friend of, we need to call her Frances Ha, Greta Gerwig. Yeah. We're going to say Greta Gerwig.
Sophie?
Yeah.
Sophie,
yeah. She was in several little films. Right now, she's in Low Winter Sun.
Oh,
poor
so
she
girl.
Continues to be in little films.
Well, there you go. She's in it. Noah Baumbach. Yeah. The writer-director, Squid and the Whale. I thought that was pretty good. Greenberg I liked quite a bit. Fantastic Mr. Fox. I've not seen this film.
I've heard good things about that film.
He did
though.
What?
Fantastic
I
Mr.
thought
Fox.
Anderson did. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Okay. He wrote it. He did not direct it.
Wes
okay.
Anderson did not direct Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No, Wes Anderson did direct
no,
it.
No, I'm sorry.
It.
Noah Baumbach
wrote it.
Wrote it.
It was taken from a novel, I thought.
Well, he wrote the screenplay.
He wrote the screenplay.
Oh,
you
God,
know how it works.
I'm so confused.
Oh, here's something you don't know about him, beyond the fact that he wrote Life Aquatic, which I know you appreciate.
Wes Anderson?
No. Noah Baumbach wrote The Life Aquatic.
I'm
all
so
right.
confused.
He's got some cred for me now.
Anyways.
He also wrote Madagascar
I love that movie.
3.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that he wrote Life Aquatic.
Yes, he did.
That I
That's
like
That's pretty
that
amazing. That is literally one of my all-time favorite movies
I know it is.
Ever.
I like that movie
I'm surprised you
well.
Didn't know. Yeah, yeah. I actually, I didn't know until I read it. So.
I thought Wes Anderson. We're getting way off track, but
yeah,
I really
that.
Thought Wes Anderson wrote that.
All right, the most mind-blowing fact about Noah Baumbach, if you didn't know it, he's married to
he's
Jennifer
married?
Jason Leigh.
I thought, who's... Oh, God.
Married to Jennifer Jason Leigh. You're Who? Thinking of Phoebe Cates.
No, I'm not.
That'd be a thing.
Ben Affleck
I thought,
was married to her.
We are so off track, guys.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Let's get back to Francis.
Yeah,
but back to being off track. I thought that he was married to Greta Gerwig.
Uh-oh.
Nope.
Maybe she's not
Who is
off
she
the
married?
Table.
Okay, now this just got
Uh-oh.
Interesting.
Uh-oh. Hoodie's ears are perked.
This just became real, boys.
He's making a drive to DeKalb County right now.
Is Greta Gerwig married?
That's what I'm looking up for.
I thought she was married to Noam Bumbabuck.
Ah, wait. Somebody scored.
Uh-oh.
She's single.
I am single now.
Producer producing the info.
You know what? I would walk 500 miles.
Yeah. He's producing on the fly.
I would walk 500 more.
I'd sit on the couch and watch TV.
I'd walk 500 miles just to get on with this show. ratings. Let's talk about the ratings here. IMDb 7.5.
Yeah. Not bad.
What do you think of that, Hoodie?
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. Hi.
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes. Critics 93.
That's wrong.
That's a little high.
You think it's a little high?
Critics always go high.
They always go a little high. Well, sometimes they do. Yeah. The user rating is 80% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
That sounds about right.
That sounds about good. You liking that? You feeling that, producer? That.
Okay. We're the users. We're users.
Here's what you have. Frances, played by Greta Gerwig, lives in New York, but she doesn't really have an apartment. Frances is an apprentice for a dance company, but she's really not a dancer. Frances has a best friend named Sophie, but they aren't really speaking anymore. Frances throws herself headlong into her dreams, even as their possible reality dwindles. Frances wants so much more than she has, but lives her life with unaccountable joy and happiness. Frances Ha is a modern comic fable that explores New York, friendship, class, ambition, failure, and redemption. We're going to talk about this film in just a minute, which is The Hoodie, approved 2012, Noah Baumbach's Frances Ha. Here's your trailer right here.
Tell me the story of us.
Again? We are going to take over the world.
You'll be this awesome publishing mogul.
And you'll be this famous modern dancer.
Have you ever done where you play fight?
I don't want to.
Oh, it's super fun.
Oh my god, stop it!
Damn it! Oh, sorry, you have to, like,
fight back.
Stop it! I said stop! Oh, sorry.
I asked you to move in with me. You said no.
But I can't.
You can. You don't want to.
What do you do?
It's kind of hard to explain.
Because what you do is complicated?
Because I don't really do it.
Okay, so there you have it. Frances Ha, the quirky 20-something small fish in a big pond dramedy from writer-director Noah Baumbach, starring the delightful Greta Gerwig.
Hi.
Yeah. Everybody on board with me on that?
Yeah.
She's delightful?
Yeah, she's delightful. She's delightful. And then
she's definitely Greta Gerwig.
You guys all can't have crushes on my girl. Well, set that down now.
Man, the sights are set. Too funny. Hey, let's get into a little bit of did you know before we get into what we thought, okay? Did you know that Frances's parents are played by Greta Gerwig's real-life parents in this film?
No, I did not.
You didn't know that. Why would you know that?
I don't know.
I looked it up. I'm sorry.
I did not.
Did you know that this was shot as low-key and covertly as possible on New York City streets and was officially known as Untitled Digital Workshop during production?
It seems obvious that they did that.
You think so?
Yes, I agree with that.
Here's something else, too. Did you know that Greta Gerwig is in every scene of this movie? Doesn't happen often.
You know why?
Because
why
awesome?
Wouldn't she be?
Right.
Because you can't spell great without Greta. I love saying that. I'm real proud of that. All right, currency. Because, you know, here on the Q Filmcast, we don't do 1 through 10 stars because that's stupid. We let the film tell us what we're going to rate it with. So, Hoodie, reveal, man. What is our currency for this film?
We're thinking we're going to go undateable roommates.
Nice.
That works.
It makes sense.
Yeah. That was brought up several times in the movie.
Yeah, we had different ways to go with it. I like that. That makes sense.
It's brought up
several times in the film.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And undateable roommates.
Right. So, the more you have, the worse your situation is.
Right. But the more you have on the Q Filmcast, the better you like the film.
Okay.
Let's clarify. All right. So the way we usually do this is we default to the person that picked the film. Matt St. Hoodie, go. 1 to 10, undateable roommates.
8.
He's going 8 undateable roommates.
Go.
All right. We'll get into why.
That's where he's at right now.
Yeah. We're going to let that
sit
there.
Down.
I'm going to go clockwise, and you were at 3 o'clock there, Matt.
Matt?
Max.
Go ahead.
That'd be Max.
I'm already off to a good start.
Oh, this guy here.
Welcome to the new year, folks.
Yeah, thanks. It's 2014. You still haven't learned my name.
What the hell is that? I put these headphones on, and they, like, They like suck my brains out or something.
I'm telling you. I'm going 7 undateable roommates.
Max to the Max
Who
Gumbo
do
Johnson.
You think you are?
I think I'm Max Johnson.
That's right. 7 undateable roommates. All right. Sorry. We're off to a good start with Francis Ha. That brings us straight up to the greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast. And without a doubt, the best producer of this.
Of the new year.
Of the new year. That's what I was trying to say. Oh, shut up, Michael. It's Adam. What you got?
5.
Straight down the middle, 5.
Figures.
Sorry.
I think there were parts that charmed him. I think there were parts where he was bored.
I think he got no class. He got no class.
No class. All right. What about you, Maestro? What you got?
Well, are you going to put it back on me now?
Yeah. Well,
you're clockwise.
Yeah, you're right. It is me. Right. I like being asked the questions once in a while. Why don't you ask me, say, Michael, what is it that you give Francis Ha?
Michael, what is it that you give Francis Ha?
It's a charmer, man. It's a strong 8.
Really?
All right.
Strong 8 for Michael.
That's right. And we're going to bookend this thing with Hard Sub Savage. What you going with?
I got to give it a 4, man. There was no meaningful resonance for this movie for me at all.
All right, Rosencrantz.
He's got Rosencrantz in his pants. All right, so there you go. Max to the Max Johnson, you are our statistician. Where are we sitting with undateable roommates?
32.
32?
That's not that bad in New York.
No.
That's not that bad. That's
better
making
than Rosencrantz.
It.
That's not that
bad. That's making it in New York.
All right, Rosencrantz.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get into it there. The ratings for 2012's Francis Ha from writer-director Noah Baumbach. Let's go in the order that we gave our undateable roommates. Mm-hmm. That means it's starting off with the hoodster. Yeah. Matt St. Hoodie.
Hi.
Well, it's your time to tell us why you came up with 8 undateable roommates for Francis Ha. What is the reasoning here?
All right, number one, we always harp on dialogue. This one was chock full of good stuff. It had individual great scenes, but obviously for obvious reasons,
obviously.
You couldn't be more obvious.
Greta Gerwig, she's just sold. She has literally sold every movie I've ever seen her in, and I think it's because I feel like I need to save her. I think that's why I love her so much. She has this vulnerability to her that I can just latch onto, and I say, she's cute. And I can say, I want to save this really super awesomely cute girl that can dance. She can put it down.
In the middle of the street.
Anytime. Yeah, in the middle of the street, running. And that was one of the best scenes of the movie. It showed how childlike she was. So it was really the evolution of her, you know, moving from childhood into adulthood. That's obviously what the movie's about. On the flip side, it was the de-evolution of everybody else, I thought. Everybody that she was looking up to as being the adults really didn't have it together either. So,
who does?
Me.
You hear that, Greta?
You movie star, you. Yeah. I've got it together.
You know, whether this works or not, she is going to get this episode personally delivered.
You know
to
what?
Her.
I can dance. I can dance if you want to.
He's got rhythm.
You can dance if you want to. That might be the ending song.
Right. I'm going to leave your cares behind.
I'm just saying. I can put it down. Give me some notice so I can, you know, tighten it up. But
all right. Good take on the film, man. Good take. There was some magic here and some timelessness about it. Yeah, okay. Excellent. Want to go over to you want to say anything else? You want to go over to Max, to the Max Johnson?
Come on, Gumbo.
It's on me.
Spew your gumbo, man. What is it?
Oh, that sounds terrible.
That does sound terrible. I think you gave this 7 undateable roommates.
7 undateable roommates.
He just wants that many
roommates. I'm with Matt. It's pretty apparent what the movie's about because, I mean, she's the only one that really sort of goes her own way in this whole movie. Everybody else has they've got money. They've got this, they've got that. She's the only one that really struggles and has to go around everything to kind of get her stuff together. And by the end of the movie, she sort of figured out who she is. And at the beginning of the movie, and like Matt said, we saw this earlier at the Belcourt. I liked it the second time I saw it a lot more, except for maybe the first 15 minutes. I thought, wow, I'll really enjoy this a lot more at the theater.
Yeah.
And then we got into the movie, and I was like, okay, I remember why I liked this so much when I saw it at the theater. It really evolves as a film. It gets better as it goes on, which is kind of rare.
I'm with you.
It's kind of rare. You really learn the character and get to know a little bit more about her as the movie goes on. And she actually ends up being pretty much the only likable person in the whole movie.
Yeah.
I really didn't like anybody else in the movie. I could not hang out with these
people. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we'll get into some of that. I may agree with you there.
Oh, yeah. You will.
Do you think so? Could be.
You definitely will.
But this, in the end, is a Greta Gerwig vehicle, that's for sure. And I think you're kind of playing into that as well.
Oh, she carried the whole thing. Yeah.
She was never seen in the film. Here's producer. Here he is. And he's going to tell us why he gave it 5 undateable roommates.
I'm kind of opposite of Max. The first time I saw it, I enjoyed it more. The second time I saw it, I didn't like it as much. Mm. I like the cinematography. I like everything else about it other than the characters for the most part.
Wow.
I love the characters.
I think most people would say the only thing I liked about this film was the characters. Most people would say that.
No, I really could not connect to most of these characters. I hated most of them. Even her, for the most part.
Hey, wait.
She reminds me of a lot of my ex-girlfriends.
You need to
and
just,
this is sad.
You're off.
So
you're cut off.
I'm just kind of like, ugh.
Well, what did you like about the film? You didn't give it like a 2. I mean, what did you give it? A 5. So some things you found charming about
some
it.
Some of the guys I did like.
Some of the guys.
Benny,
some of the guys. You just said you hated everybody in the movie, but you liked some of the guys.
Most of the characters.
Right.
I liked Benji. I liked him. I thought his character was good. Of course, he had this big, huge thing for her.
Right.
Obviously.
Yep. A little self-identifying going on.
And a lot of little minor characters, but most of the main characters really could not stand.
Let me ask you a question.
I would hate hanging out with these people.
This film is very understated. I mean, it's black and white. It's understated, and the dialogue is really quite right at you, simple in a lot of ways. Might be deep, but it's also simple. I think that could actually turn people on or turn them off. I mean, did you find that to be a plus for the film or a negative for the film?
No, dialogue, for the most part, wasn't bad, but sometimes they just started rambling. I was just like,
rambling. Playful. I'm gonna go with playful on the dialogue.
I don't know, man.
How did you go from rambling to playful?
I said playful. I thought
I know, but you took it from rambling to playful.
Because I think some people would interpret some of that dialogue as rambling.
If you're not paying attention or connecting some dots, connect the dots, Adam.
It's like
connect four, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Matt on this one. I think almost every line of dialogue in this movie it meant something. They were talking about stuff. They were talking. Yes, it did.
It definitely did. We'll get to you in a minute, sir. There,
it absolutely played
the
long game.
I'm actually going with Michael. More rambled.
I didn't say rambled. Man. You did. I said it was playful.
No, okay, your turn, Mike.
My turn. Here we go. Okay.
You gave it an 8.
No. Oh, me? Yeah, I did. I gave
it an
8. Yeah. I forgot I was actually part of the film cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to talk about the movie,
all
too.
All right. Listen, I think I could probably piggyback Hoodie the entire way on this thing as far as what – I'm only talking about the film.
Yeah, I got it.
As far as what he took from this film. I thought it was great. And let me tell you why I like this film. And by the way, looking at this from afar, there's a lot of reasons why I should have hated this film. We're talking about hipster problems.
Tell me about it.
Overly Woody-esque, quirky comedies. There was a lot of potential here for me to hate this film. But here's what I got out of it. Here's what I really took from this film.
Sell me, bro.
I'm going to sell you a little bit here. Can I just sell you for just a second?
Okay. Try.
When we first meet Francis, we're kind of led to believe this is going to be a tale about something very specific or someone very specific. And this is where this film really kind of turns a corner for me. The film opens up. We see her life. We see where she lives, maybe, who she's dating, sort of, what she does, kind of, all this stuff, right? All this turmoil. And for a minute there, we think we're going to watch a movie about her particular life. You know, her journey, her voyage, her awakening, whatever you want to call it. I kind of brace myself for an eye-rolling experience there because I really don't care about anybody's particular life, okay? Unless it's really dynamic.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, all right, well, what's this movie really going to be? If it's going to be about this girl's life, it's probably not going to be interesting. But what made this movie a special experience for me is that it becomes so very non-specific. You see what I mean? Here's why I loved this movie. It's in no way a movie about a particular person or a particular person's life.
What does that even mean?
Well, I'll tell you what.
What are we saying?
You can apply it.
Let me tell you why. Because this movie becomes a movie about a particular time in everyone's life. That's what this movie's about. It's not about her life. And I tell you what, that's why the movie's in black and white. That's why the music goes from old to modern life. Because when you see her running down the street dancing, you got to get that feeling like she's here now, but there have been a million people there before, and there's probably going to be a million girls there after her. This is a very impersonal story about a very personal point in everyone's life. You kind of see what I'm saying like that?
I'm with you.
And
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So when I realized I'm not going to watch a story about someone's life, but dang it, probably a lot about my own life. Then it became very interesting to me, and she was just a delivery for that message. In other words, it's about your 20s. You know what I'm saying? That stage in your life when the training wheels finally pop off and you're riding your wobbly life up the street.
Your wobbly life.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm still wobbly.
Yeah, but
me
I mean,
too.
Like,
how many wobbly lives you give this film?
And I never want to see those years again. But I mean, that became interesting to me, and I held on to that thread. And that's when I really saw this film for what it is. It's a film about me. And I'm not a girl. I'm not living in New York. But it's still a film that I could relate to.
But you're a dancer, Michael, right?
Oh, I'm going to dance. Yeah.
Are we human or are we dancing?
Oh, come on with the songs.
Yes.
Killers.
So listen, you know, when I grabbed onto that, it became a very interesting film to me, and I went all the way with it. And I have to give credit to Bumbach and Gerwig for actually taking a very whimsical script and giving it a reason to exist. And that just impressed the hell out of me. So I grabbed onto that thread, and I was completely able to put myself into Francis's character. It's like she became this quirky, charming little tour guide through my own life in the past. I found myself saying, almost scene for scene,
you know, I know it was a different location. I had different friends. I was somewhere else. But I remember almost scene for scene feeling that way. And I think everybody does. It's just that point in your life where you don't know which way to go. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, late 20s.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, I mean, everything about this thing worked for me in terms of the story it wanted to tell. And it really did come together, completely relatable, timeless piece about all of us. I loved the actual story here. A lot of people say, well, that's probably the low point. It's just a Gerwig vehicle, but it made sense to me. When you see Francis twirling down the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's Second City.
I meant New York. I mean, I'm twirling with her. Yeah. All right. And I also thought the music worked really good in that regard, too, like I mentioned before. Everything about it kind of took you way back or it took you way up front. It was just a timeless tale. And it only got better with the details. I mean, Gerwig here. Come on, man. I mean, she's perfect in this role.
That's my girl.
I mean, she really is perfect in this role because some people say it's such a nod to Woody. It's the female Woody. But that's not an easy thing to do naturally. And she did it. Sumner as well. I actually liked all the performances in it. You know, the film's just full of these odd little moments with that odd delivery with just the right amount of paranoia, tenderness. I mean, she did that through the entire film. Completely sold me. Especially the dinner scenes where she's sort of writing her life on the fly. And we're talking about trying to seem relevant. All those real moments, I loved them all. When she found herself in Paris for no reason, I believe that too. I have no problem understanding how someone at that stage in their life could charge their way to France. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the character worked for me. I'm going to say that this is a smart film, more than what I could have asked for. No problem telling people at all, Francis Ha, watch this movie. There you go. That's kind of my selling of the film. What do you think?
Let's go to Mr. Four.
Let's go to Mr. Four, low man on the totem pole.
Yeah, none of that. None of that is real.
Really?
Oh, you're kidding me.
None of that is real. This is one of the most insipid, vapid, banal movies. This is a nothing movie. There's no meaning to this film at all.
What?
There is no meaning. This is just like filming people talking about nonsense for an hour and a half.
Did you and Adam switch souls?
No, this is nonsense. I mean, this is not, look, quirky and cute gets you so far. And I get the quirky and cute thing.
But that's what I just said. This film is not about quirky and cute.
It is about quirky and cute because, you know, she's half writer of this thing because she made up this dialogue, this script as they went along. This is nonsense. This is like, let's film what real people do.
Who cares?
You don't say who cares what real people do? Yeah. I mean, okay. This is not a movie. There is no meaning. There's no real conflict. She just blunders her way through life and there's no consequence. There's no care. There's no nothing. She's not even a real protagonist in
but
this.
But isn't
thing.
Everybody at that stage in life? That's exactly
that's
what
not,
they are.
That's not what we're judging on. We're judging a film. You know, and if this is supposed to be an ode to Woody Allen and Diane, well, like you said in the Rosencrantz, man, it's, hey, Noah Baumbach, you're no Woody Allen. You may set a camera up and put it in black and white and set it in New York, but you're no Woody Allen. Hmm. Woody Allen knows character development. He knows story.
Yeah.
And he knows conflict. This has none of those things. This is just some weird, breezy, who gives a crap about anything that you're talking about. You know?
I did. What's wrong with me? What, like an idiot.
This is nothing but conflict. How can you say that this is
breezy?
What are you talking about? Where is the conflict in this
film? Well, she doesn't have a place to live. She doesn't have any money. She doesn't have a career.
There is zero conflict with that. There's no recognition of any of this. There's just this accepted, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I don't know about that, Savage, because...
No, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
All right, let me step in here real quick because we're gonna get into some scenes here. We're gonna break down some. We're gonna have our own. Let's have some conflict.
Let's have some conflict.
There's more conflict in this conversation than there is in this entire movie.
I want you to get up and dance right now to David Bowie. Oh, God, please sit down. Please, for the love of God, sit down. And enough cleavage.
He actually got up and danced.
I don't even hear David Bowie.
I want to step in here. I'm going to tell you kind of. I'm going to give you some conflict. I want to hear Matt St. Hoodie's.
I will answer everything you have to say.
But let me ask you this now. I gave you a thread on where I took this film to a different direction. I didn't see it as quirky. I didn't see it as just a whimsical piece. I didn't see it as rambling. There's a lot of substance.
There is no substance in this.
If you look at it in terms of what I said, which this is a story for all of us. This is not Gerwig's or Francis' story.
And then whose is it?
It's
if
all
it's not
of our
Francis
stories.
Ha's story, the title character.
Do you think that Francis
whose
Ha,
story?
Okay,
is
let me tell you
it?
Whose story is. How many people?
Who's in every
well, let me answer,
scene?
Let me answer the question. Whose story is it? I think it's everybody's story. Do you think she's the only one?
That's a cop out.
Now
stop.
Come on, hold on. Let me finish. Do you think that she?
Wet Willy, you.
You're gonna start sucking on your finger. Get the wet Willy ready. Do you think
Thank
that
you, earphones?
Do you think that she's the only person in New York that's ever gone there terrified or gone into the adult life as the like I say, the training wheels pop off.
That's the ticket. It doesn't even have to
She's
be
not
New York.
Terrified at all.
She doesn't know what to
Whoa.
Do.
Whoa. She's not terrified at all.
No.
All
right. Savage. Where is she terrified?
Again, she doesn't have if a place there was to live. There, she if doesn't there, have any money. She doesn't have a best
those
friend.
Are circumstances.
She doesn't have a direction.
Those are circumstances. Right. There's
How would
there's
you build
no
how would you build conflict?
Conflict.
Right, how
here's
would
what
you
we're
build conflict?
I want mass
How would
talk.
You show conflict?
How would you build is what I'm saying. How would you
No, you've got the building blocks. Where is it showed? Where is it developed? Where does it Greta Gerwig show you that this matters to her at all? It never matters to
That's
her.
That's an opinion, but I want to hear Matt's opinion right now in reference to yours. You already had to say, Matt, you're a champion of this film. You liked it as much as I did. What do you think about all this?
I honestly don't even know how to respond.
I don't
to
either.
Where is it shown that it affects her in any way?
I have a huge example.
Go ahead,
example.
Okay. Max, go.
She goes to Paris.
Well, yeah, there's that. That at the beginning of the movie, it's her and Sophie. They're best friends. I mean, you think they should be married. They're such perfect mates. They should be
lesbians who stopped having sex.
But anyway, and then you know, she's going to move in with her boyfriend and the two cats, the hairless cats. She's like, now, you know, we got the lease with Sophie. Turns right around. What does Sophie do? Well, I'm moving in with Patch. And then, boom, where'd my best friend go? I never see her anymore. Yeah. All of a sudden, I find out she's moving to Japan. Right. She's getting married to Patch. No, they have that big showdown at the restaurant where she steals the
I will give you that. I will give you that. If there is,
that's conflict.
If there is, yep. If there is conflict for Frances Ha in this film, it is the loss of her friend, Sophie.
Well,
I will give you that.
The loss of her friend represents her whole life falling apart because she can't get her crap together.
You're reading a little more into that. And you're allowing more for this film for that. I will allow that. That if there is conflict,
I'm going to allow Adam to talk right now, producer. Step in and give us some ground.
You can couple that with the dance. What is it? The company that she
the
wants
company,
to be a part
yeah.
of. She didn't make it into that, right?
Clearly, she had no business being there.
And she was counting on that to get the Christmas money to pay the rent.
And
which
that's
is conflict. That's
ridiculous.
Two conflicts right there.
This
that's
film,
ridiculous.
You know what? This film, let's stop here. This film is full. It's all about conflict of where do I go from here? The whole message is where do I go from here?
Right.
Who knows where they're going to go when they're 20-something years old?
And that's exactly what Michael's saying is that's why it applies to everybody.
Yeah, I found myself completely related.
Even though I'm not in a dance company in New York, I was 20-something, and I was saying, where is my life going? Conflict.
I understand what you're saying about that point in a person's life. I don't feel that this film represented those things that you're saying.
You know, I do. I really do, Savage. I grabbed onto that, and I thought that she delivered that message through her quirky delivery, through her beautiful performance.
I think the quirk is what's thrown you.
I thought that the film was very well put together, too. It was patient. It didn't try to ram quirky at me. I bought her character, and I bought the fact that when she looked at people, she was just desperately hoping that they were buying what she was selling. And who doesn't feel that way at that age in her life? I mean, she was trying to create a life on the fly for everybody that she came in contact with because she didn't know where to go. The training wheels had just come off.
Right, but she was still incredibly charming.
Very charming,
yes. And you go back to the dinner scene
she
when she's talking.
She made up half of her stories.
Who cares?
Big deal.
You're talking like in real life.
But that plays into the story.
No, I think half of the script is like...
That's what you were saying, but
Adam
said she made
fly.
Up half of her stories. I didn't know if that was like the character made up half her stories
or
Greta Gerwig
made up half of her stories.
Hey, you know what we need to get into? We understand where we kind of feel about this film. Let's talk about some of the scenes and maybe, you know, what they meant in terms of how you felt about the film. Like, you feel a certain way, so let's talk about some scenes and how they either fell flat or didn't, worked for you. But I want to go to Max. Max hasn't piped in here in a little while.
Piped in a little bit.
I want to hear, listen,
piped.
You know what I like about him? Look how cool he is.
He's a piper?
Let me tell you what he needs. He needs an ascot and a pipe right now. He just looks like the old wise man sitting on a chair.
I'm a cool guy. I keep my cool. I keep it calm. I keep it together.
Yeah. Unleash it. I want to talk about a few scenes. When you talk about this film, you actually talked about the opening scene, right?
Girl fight.
I want you to tell me a few scenes that really stood out to you in this film and whether or not you're going Team Savage, Team Hoodie here.
Okay, I'll talk about a couple of scenes. First off, I'll tell you straight up, I'm going Team Hoodie. There's no question about it. This is a much better movie than you're giving it credit for.
No,
it's got
it's
much
not.
More meaning than you're giving it credit for,
it
Mr. Rosencrantz. One of my favorite scenes of the whole thing was when she went out to dinner with Lev after she got her her tax return.
Right. That was great.
And she just insisted on paying, and he's like, no, I got it. And she's, no, I just got my tax return. I'm the one just got my tax return. She gives him the card. He said, oh, this comes back as a debit. We only take credit or
And who hasn't been there, right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, no. I'm the one with the tax rebate. Can I take it?
Fine. Just because you bought dinner doesn't mean I'm going to sleep with you.
I'm not trying to sleep with you.
No, I was pretending to be a liberated woman.
Oh, I got it.
Thanks for paying. That's very sweet. You're a lady.
I'm sorry, but the card didn't go through. Do you have another card you want to try?
Sorry, this is a debit card?
Only credit cards are cash.
Okay. I'm so embarrassed. I'm not a real person yet.
I got it.
No. I'm just going to go run and get some cash.
My first date with a girl I almost married, that exact same thing had happened. I was like, I feel so stupid. Could you please pay for dinner?
Yeah, and you see, maybe that's
and
just...
the exact same thing happened.
That's it. Maybe that there's things here just coincidental that mirrored
it
my life.
Connects
but,
dots.
But yeah. Then when she says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a credit card, I'm not a real person yet. Yeah. I mean, that spoke volumes right there.
Yeah,
she thinks,
volumes.
You know, once you've got a credit card, you've made it. You're a real person.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's almost the complete opposite. You don't need a credit card to be a real person. And then she goes on that huge ATM chase and she slips, and which was hilarious
that
when
was
she
funny.
Fell down.
Which, by the way, that's, I mean, you can say that that's like, what did you say this movie was?
Vapid and banal.
Yes.
Well, all right, so you can say that that's kind of like cliche and quirky, but...
it worked at that moment.
No,
it worked.
I hate to say this, but I lived in New York for a little bit, and I've actually had to like run down the streets of New York looking for stuff, and that's literally things that you pass by. That's how that city kind of rolls. That's
who hasn't been there in their mid to late 20s?
Yeah.
I was there. I was there. That actually happened to me. Literally,
I was there at certain
to
points in my 30s. Are you kidding
right.
me?
Yeah, right. It, yeah.
And so, and you know, you talk about the credit card. That kind of brings a point to me. That's why when I told you earlier in my synopsis that I have no problem believing that someone would actually charge their way, max out their card to try to form a life for themselves and go to Paris to try to seem a certain way to someone else, that's an early 20s kind of thing. And I bought it too, because typically you get your first credit card, you max it out. And you knew that was coming for her.
Oh, yeah, it was coming. You get those in college. You know, oh, hey, $500. Matter of fact, well, I buy tacos and beer. What am I going
to
do?
Yeah. So this film knew what it wanted to deliver.
She used it to go to Paris.
Yeah, fantastic.
The other scene, I love the dinners when she went over to the other girl that was in the dance
in the company.
Camera,
yeah.
They were all so phony. Everybody in this movie except her was a phony.
Yeah.
Except maybe the one that ran the dance company.
I don't know. I don't know if phony is the word. They just weren't. I mean, they were all. You can say that they had it put together. I don't think phony is the right word.
Maybe it's not the right word, but nobody came across as truly genuine in this movie.
Nobody. Yeah.
Like at the beginning, you know, Sophie was her best friend. And say, oh, we're going to be together forever. We're going to write a blog, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And then, boom, in the turn of a heartbeat,
Sophie's gone. Yeah, at the end of the movie, Sophie proved to be way more scatterbrained than...
incredibly
scatterbrained. Yeah, I like that relationship, too, because the thing I liked about Sophie's relationship, and you say when it opened up into that scene, you knew that that was going to come apart instantly. And I like that.
Right.
I saw that coming because her whole small life was devoted into this idea that I have my friend, I have my apartment, and it was just so fragile, right? But in the end, you find out Sophie is just like her, right? I mean, there's no difference between them.
No, I disagree with that.
You think so?
No.
They were both terrified. They didn't know what to do with their lives.
I agree with that.
I don't agree with it on that perspective.
No, Sophie was a much interesting character.
I agree that they sort of were both sort of like on the precipice of not knowing where they were going.
But they were both lying to themselves.
They were lying to themselves. I think she was. She was saying she was in love with Patch.
And then she was going to not marry Patch, and she was going to move back to the States.
Yeah, come back.
And the next scene, they're married.
But the whole thing that ticked me off about Sophie was like, oh, you know, here I abandoned my friend to go do this. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to come back to my friend. Well, you're only going back for selfish reasons. You're not going back because you really want to go back and hang out with Francis.
Right.
Which was so great when, you know, she got her own place. She set up her own little dance company. She wasn't knocking the world over,
right.
But she was doing it on her own terms.
You know,
and that's
awesome. Another thread here.
About it.
Everything about trying to find something on your own terms, too. I mean, she wasn't going to take the job as a secretary.
But she did.
But in the end, she did because she realized, okay, this, I can't have it all. I got to work my way. I'm a life in progress. Let me tell you my favorite scene of this thing.
That was never, she never did that.
Well, let me tell you something.
She never took responsibility for anything that was going on.
Well, listen,
how did you give this a 4 if you're bashing it so hard? Why did you give it a 4?
Yeah, let's talk about that. What worked for you in this film?
There was some good film craft. I like the black and white. I like some of the set selection. There was some good acting. I'm not knocking the acting of it.
Yeah.
But the story of it was just...
You've been there, done that kind of thing?
No, it was just...
That's the point.
Just pedestrian. It was just...
Okay.
Who cares?
But you know what, though?
What's going... Who cares?
Savage, that understated...
ridiculous, nonsense, 20-year-old who can't decide whatever.
Well, let me tell you why this thing wrapped up. The ending frame of this film... said it all to me. I loved the ending of this movie. When she's trying to stick her name into the mailbox, and then I'm like, Frances Ha. Yeah. She's a life incomplete. Her life is still needing to be worked on. And that came through as the perfect visual. I actually found myself almost applauding at that end scene of this movie.
What did she work for
to get to that place?
Actually,
the only thing I saw her as was that she
was selfish the entire movie. She was a spoiled only child the entire time. That's all I could think of watching this film of her.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought she had an adventurous spirit.
She's the only one that wasn't a selfish, spoiled brat.
She was
that's exactly right.
She's the only one that was not a self. Every one of her friends, Lev, who's the other guy? Benji, Lev. Sophie, the other girl in the dance troupe, the whole family.
Spoiled. I'm just saying she's selfish.
No, hold on. All of her other friends that she thought were so awesome were just a bunch of hipster trust fund kids.
Yeah,
check out this vintage Linzer. A vintage Linzer? Really?
Oh, yeah.
A vintage Linzer. You mean an old camera.
Right.
What a D-bag.
Yeah. And then you go in,
was Lev.
The undateable guy was like, we're thinking about getting it made. It's only like $400
a month. Yeah, it's only $400 a month.
Oh, check out these headphones. Yeah. They're,
About the time he says, I finally broke down and got $12,000 from my stepdad. Yeah. He's such a
a-hole.
Yeah, what a jerk. He only gave me $12,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be trying to get a job on SNL. They said they might take some of my skits. And then he gives up on that. And what's he doing now?
Yeah.
I'm working on a spec script for Scrimmins 3.
He better not ruin that script.
What an asshat. Yeah. All of them.
But total jerk. Yeah, but Max, you know what that strengthened for me? That strengthened once again, she's a small fish in a big pond.
What it strengthened for me was she was the only genuine person in this movie. Even she was hanging around these people to make herself feel a little better, I think. But then at the end, she realized, you know what? I don't need these people around because none of these people have accomplished anything on their own.
Where did that happen? Where was the realization that happened?
Her realization that happened?
Yeah, I don't need these people to self-actualize.
I think that happened when she went back to work. She went back to work, got her life somewhat into focus. Yep. She said, I need money. And she only took the job because she could get the dance studio.
Yeah.
That her boss was promising her. You see her out by the fountain putting together her own moves, and then her life starts coming together. And then at the end, it brings it all together because you've got all the friends and everybody's been in the movie in the audience watching what she's put together.
You're talking about the last five, maybe.
How does
three
every
minutes?
Other movie ever made work?
No. Actually,
no.
I think it's.
Let's say what Adam
when she hit her low point was when she had to go back to her college and she's waiting on people. She's. You know, being our RA there at the dorm.
No,
she
that
just
was
had a, nothing else to do, and she had to find a place to live, and she took what she
could. At the end of that one, she's chasing Sophie leaves, right? Yeah. She drives away, and one of the best scenes of the movie, she's running down the street yelling Sophie, and she looks down at her bare feet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep, loved that was loved it. That scene. Was it.
Right. And that's the scene. And, yep.
and she's in college.
Okay, the bare feet, she danced barefoot.
Yeah.
And that's the point where she says, this is what I need to do.
Yes, because, Matt, up until that point, every scene had the same look on her face. I'm not sure if I really believe what I'm saying. I don't know if I should really be here. I don't know if this is really true, what I'm putting out there. When she sat at that dinner table and talked about, well, guess what? Next week I'm going to Paris. It's like she almost said, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into next? Every scene almost ended like, what am I doing?
Right.
I mean, even in the opening where she's like, oh, I guess we're kind of broke up. Are we broke up? She wasn't even sure about that with her boyfriend. She goes home for the holidays, too. Another great scene for me, and I think it kind of showed a lot about the character of this person. She's going down the escalator into her parents, and as she gets closer to her parents, you can almost see the terror kind of build up in her eyes. And when she's going back the escalator backwards to go back to New York, it's like, I don't know what I'm going back to. And even the look in her eye there was even more terrifying.
Yeah. And what was that whole scene about, the parent scene?
That
the
worked
Sacramento
for me.
Scene.
It showed to me just how far removed from what was her security that she really is. Max, what do you think, man? You want to end this up on your perception of this film? Anything you want to add as far as what you took from Frances Ha? By the way, we're talking about the 2012 film Frances Ha.
And that was for Greta.
Been wanting to do that all show. That's from writer-director Noah Baumbach.
I took from this that this was a story of all of us. We've all been there, unless you're one of these guys like Benji or Lev or one of these guys.
You're savage.
Total hipsters.
Apparently got it together at 19. Yeah. Yeah. Look back.
I mean,
I guarantee none of us at this table have done that.
Oh, yeah. Think again, bucko.
Oh.
Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there in that total insecure phase of our life. I just got out of college and I've got this useless degree. But you, now what do I do?
But you know what? You always try to.
You have a degree in dance, Max. Yes.
No, but
I have a degree in art.
I have a degree in this is going to sound pathetic. Mass communication.
I have a wife and four cats.
Yeah, you know, I got a degree in mass communications, and what do? I fix wheelchairs. But yeah, but that's what I took from it. You know, you can plan all you want and strive for everything you want, and sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you want, and you got to. She had to take that job.
Do you think she understood that at the end? At the end, she seemed so happy.
Of course she did.
Totally did.
Why was she happy at the end? What do you think was in her mind after all this crap of insecurity? She seemed secure at the end.
Because she realizes that life is kind of a give and take. You can't have it all. You kind of she had to like sacrifice her day job to get the night position where she could actually use the studio and do what she wanted. It's a give and take, and that's
we've all taken those jobs that we hated to take
for the greater good.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is.
And you know she's single.
I am single now. Ha ha. It's kind of hard to... It's that thing when you're with someone and you love them and they know it and they love you and you know it. But it's a party. And you're both talking to other people and you're laughing and shining. And you look across the room and catch each other's eyes. But not because you're possessive or it's precisely sexual, but because that is your person in this life. And it's funny and sad, but only because this life will end, and it's the secret world that exists right there in public, unnoticed, that no one else knows about. It's sort of like how they say that other dimensions exist all around us, but we don't have the ability to perceive them. That's what I want out of a relationship. Or just life, I guess. Love. I sound stoned. I'm not stoned.
Better be.
You know she's
I'm
single.
Coming for you, Greta. I am coming for you. I do want to mention, I saw through this movie that all the people and all the experiences that she went through gave her a wisdom, I think. That sounded really bad.
Yeah, you know what, though? She seemed kind of light-minded in this thing. But
yes,
she actually, if you,
she
but,
did.
But if you watched her, she was always in on somebody trying to figure out what is it that they know that I don't know,
right,
everybody.
But when she was in the dorm room and Sophie was drunk, and she's like, oh, I don't know how I'm not going to throw up. She's like, oh, put your foot off the side of the bed. You know, she picked up little bits of wisdom that made her the mature person that she is at the end of the movie.
That was sort of a running gag through the whole movie where she would get a little piece of advice from somebody. And then she would pass that little piece of advice on to somebody else. She did that like 5 or 6 times in the whole movie. You know, that actually reminded me of The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Where he would hear a little phrase and then... A couple of scenes later, he would say the royal we, or say, there's a line you do not cross, man.
Yeah.
It was that same sort of theme where, you know, you can see a person, not necessarily in the case of The Big Lebowski, but you can see a person grow and pick up on things, and you could see her progress and mature as the movie. And it's a short movie. It's only an hour and 20 minutes.
85 minutes, yeah.
But you know, it packs a lot of stuff in there, and it doesn't give you anything that I thought, okay, why'd they put that in there? I thought everything was necessary and in order.
And it played the long game.
Boy, we had some heated discussion about Frances Ha.
Wow.
Go figure. The 2012 film from Noah Baumbach, which I'm going to just go get my crap out of the way, okay? Delightful. Had a lot there, more than I thought I would. I actually thought this was going to be a film that I would have a hard time relating to. Thought it was a fine script. Perfect performance. A lot of fun. A lot of nuance. I like Frances Ha. There's my ending statement. Adam, what's yours?
I'm like, whatever. I don't want to watch it again.
You don't want to watch it again?
I enjoyed it the first time, but I do not want to watch it again.
All right, Savage, to end this thing up, you can tell me about a scene that maybe worked for you or not.
I'll just end it. I understand the attraction that this movie may have for some people. For me, it just had no meaningful resonance, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, let's go over to Matt St. Hoodie. You end this thing up. I want you to round this thing off. Any final details, final thoughts, final synopsis? Why should people watch this film?
I got nothing.
All right, let's get into our top threes, guys. Let's talk about this now. I don't think we mentioned this at the beginning. This generated our top three. How do you want to phrase this, Hoodie?
Characters in movies that you would like to have as roommates?
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. That was pretty simple.
Top three characters in films that you think would make great roommates. I like this, man. Number three, what you got?
I got to go Tony Stark. He'd be fun.
Why in the hell would you want to live with Tony Stark?
I wouldn't want to live with Tony Stark. I want to live with Tony Stark because he'd be fun to live with.
They blew up his house.
He's an alcoholic.
Yeah, so am I.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, jeez. Maybe they would make great roommates.
How awesome.
Wolf of Wall Street Part 2.
The first step is denial and he missed it, so maybe not.
Okay. Matt St. Hoodie, what's your number three?
It is so ironic that you said Life Aquatic completely, because my number three is Steve Zissou.
Why in the hell would you want to live with this guy?
Because we talk about sharks all the time.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
And I
okay.
get to wear a cool hat, and I get to hang out with Steve Zissou.
And go down in a submarine.
That is not a bad way to go. That's your thing. You want to talk about sharks with Steve Zissou?
He's awesome.
Every bit of a D-bag that Tony Stark is, though.
He's not an alcoholic, and he's got a submarine.
Max, what's your number three?
Number three, John Winger from Stripes. Also, Bill Murray. Again, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is the roommate, the quintessential.
Who wouldn't want to live with John Winger from Stripes? Because he rarely wears underwear.
I think he uses... Oh, that's a horrible...
That's
he
a
uses
bad
his
reference.
Friends.
That's what he says in the movie.
Adam, number three, what you got?
I need a handyman, so I'm going R2-D2.
What the hell? You live with R2-D2.
It's not bad.
Hey,
not
bad. He doesn't backtalk.
He can fix hyperdrive. That's all he can do and bring you a drink. Well, that's not a bad
way. Hey, I need a handyman. He's there.
Okay, so R2-D2 is his number three for a character you'd like to have as a roommate. I picked a theme with mine. You know what my theme is? I got to do this as a married man, because an unmarried man top three would get me in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
These are characters. Let me tell you what. These are characters that if I lived with them, I would become a better person. What do you think about that? They would either make me smarter, richer in character, more refined, whatever.
Sure.
That sounds lame.
Okay.
You're going with the golden child, aren't you?
No, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Shut up.
You're going with Gandhi.
No. Now you're giving me things to think about. That's
you're
not a movie
character. Amadeus Mozart.
Oh, stop this. Now I have to redo my list.
Now I do too, yeah.
All right. My number three.
Salieri.
The Last Airbender.
You guys are stomping out my mellow, man. Number three. Okay, here's what we're going with. Stop. My number three, because I think this would be a great conversation. I'm going to go with...
Jesus.
Shut up! I don't need any more religion, man. I'm trying to get a good conversation here. I'm going to go with Celine from the... from
Underworld.
No, shut up. What is Holy wrong with motors. You people? Let me talk.
Holy motors.
Kick it up a notch.
Celine from what?
Give me number three is Celine from the Before trilogy. That's right.
What
Julie
trilogy?
Delpy, you know?
No.
Before Sunrise.
Oh,
before Sunrise, Before Sunset.
That's a really good pick.
Let me tell you why. Because here's a girl that I could sit with. She'd give me that female perception. We'd drink coffee. We'd talk about art. We'd talk about music. She sings. I would love to be able to share a space with her. I'd come home after a bad day. She'd talk all this sweet stuff to me. But then you know what happened? We ended up having sex.
Then you'd end up falling in love with her.
I am trading Steve Zissou for your pick. That is
you understand what I'm saying?
That is a great pick.
I mean, she's a warm spirit in a house or a room or an apartment.
And she plays guitar and sings. You can't beat her.
And she's just cool, man. And the conversation would be cool. I'm going with Celine from the Before trilogy.
That's a fantastic pick.
Savage, number two.
Bruce Wayne.
Gotta love Bruce Wayne. Well, yeah, he's got some big toys.
You like rich people.
I do like rich people.
If you're thinking about it, wouldn't you want a roommate who you know is going to pay the rent?
Right.
I couldn't live with that dude.
No, I probably couldn't.
You
want to
talk about a dark situation?
He's too melancholy.
He would never watch a buddy film with you. Never.
I could be Robin.
Oh, creeping me out. All right, my number two.
I'd rather live with Lucius Fox.
Lucius Fox.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Just give me the
Val Kilmer from Real Genius, because he would make cool things.
Yeah.
Not bad.
His name's Chris something.
Kind of like Lucius Fox.
Yeah, kind of like Lucius Fox.
But he makes lasers and fills houses with
popcorn.
And he's
in college.
And he gets free Cokes with frozen stuff.
What do you use the little coin?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to trade him for a Delpy and keep Steve Zissou. That's what I'm doing.
You want to move in with me and Delpy?
You not sleep you in the and Delpy so much. I got my own place.
No, you
got
to sleep on the couch, though. We each have our own room.
I thought it was assumed that Greta Gerwig was on the couch of everybody's
Now this
top
is
three.
Creepy. I might actually see you in your underwear. I don't want to see this.
You will
Max,
see me in my underwear.
Number two, what you going with?
Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, why would you want to do that to yourself?
Because you want to party hardy. That is the man to have around.
Can I just come over once in a while?
Sure. Bring Julie with you.
Are you going to be the guy with a candle sticking out of his bum?
Oh, my.
Only if Julie puts it there.
Wow, yeah, that's a good pick, though. That's a dangerous pick.
It is a dangerous. Talk about a life.
You would have stories to tell, wouldn't you?
We just got dark here on the queue.
What if he makes you sleep on the yacht? Would you sleep on the yacht?
Would I sleep on the yacht?
Yeah, you can sleep on the yacht.
My God, yes. I'd sleep in the helicopter on the yacht.
Okay, in the helicopter on the yacht, okay. That's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. Number two, Adam, what you going with?
I need a protector, so I'm going Alice from Resident Evil.
Okay. What do you need a protector for?
Is that a computer?
The apocalypse is coming, so.
Okay.
And it's Mila Jovovich. Come
okay.
on.
Oh, wait. Oh, now wait, he's making yeah. sense.
Oh, that Alice.
Exactly. Yeah, that Alice. Yeah.
That's not bad.
She would kill you.
Might as well pick
Hal.
I would
let her.
Okay. My number two. Unfortunately, this is probably in the same way with me having sex and ruining the whole thing, but it's Caesar the Ape from Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
You would have sex with Caesar?
I like
no,
Caesar a lot.
Where does sex come in?
Because I told you that would probably ruin my number three choice. I'd end up having sex with her and it'd ruin the whole relationship. No, I would not have sex with Caesar. He'd probably throw his poop at me, though, don't you think? He's
an no,
he would more yeah. than definitely.
Very accurately throw it.
He would tell you no a lot.
Yeah, he would. No. I love
maybe
that
film. Would be good when you tried to have sex with
him. No.
He might put a candle in my bum.
Yeah, really?
Savage, what's your number one?
I'd want to live with Mr. Tyrell from Blade Runner. He seemed like he had it going on.
Is this 27 straight shows in a row with a Blade Runner reference?
That's...
I think we missed one, but...
Why? Why would you want to live with this guy?
That'd be a pimp-ass place to live with Mr. Tyrell, yeah.
Yeah.
What's great about this?
We'd have sex robots all over the place.
Right?
Not
the
bad.
Only sunlight in the entire city. It's a good place to be.
Nice.
It's a good place. And, you know, you'd learn things. He's smart.
I like
smart people.
Can I bring my monkey over?
Yeah. That's why I like Tony Stark and
only if it's a real monkey.
I like smart people, man. No. I dig smart people.
It would only depend if Caesar told me I could. I do whatever Caesar wants me to do.
Yeah?
Yeah. What's your number one?
Elizabeth Shue from that babysitter thing.
Oh, Adventures of Babysitting.
Yeah,
but
that's
you want
one.
All these people to live together, right?
Yeah,
you
I think
want,
that
like,
they would
the Three's Company and like,
that's right.
Hootie is the fourth.
I think that would be a very dynamic group.
It would be.
We'd sit at the table and play cards and talk and talk and talk.
Would you call her your babysitter?
No. I would make her call me Thor, though.
That movie
only
was great.
On Thursdays.
That was a great film, wasn't
that's
it?
That's fantastic. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
That was a fantastic film. I love that film from the 80s. All right, Elizabeth Shue, man. Early Elizabeth Shue. Max, what's your number one character
is,
in a
by
film?
By the way,
yeah.
The old Greta Gerwig. So there you go.
The old Greta Gerwig? No, she's a little straight-laced.
Elizabeth Shue's the old Greta Gerwig?
It's the same person, only different eras.
Hey.
Greta Gerwig is the new Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, you know,
no,
hey,
not at all.
If the shoe fits, okay?
Whoa.
Okay, so let's go on over to Max here. Max, what's your number one film character you'd like to have as a roommate?
So everybody kind of picked one girl. I'm going Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places.
Ooh. She was a prostitute,
She's a hooker.
She was, yeah.
She'd cost you.
Blondie was a hooker at one time, but Dagwood set her on the right and narrow.
What?
I could do the same thing with Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's not a quality pick. She has no job. She has no real sense of income. You're going to have to carry this woman's
She's
weight.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
You sold
me. Not Jamie Lee Curtis.
I would rather have Dan Aykroyd or Eddie Murphy in that place.
Yeah. Sorry. Look, I already picked John Winger. And Jordan Belfort. I got to get some.
You do.
So I'm picking Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
That's still awful. You can do so much better, Max. Mm.
Adam, what's your number one?
I'm going Roller Girl from Boogie Nights.
Not bad.
Nobody's going to reprimand him. She's a porn actor.
She's a hooker. But that's Adam's favorite actress ever, Heather Graham.
I love you, Heather.
Especially with
you okay, have Gerda, I have Heather.
Then I pick Jennifer Connelly from The Rocketeer.
There you go.
Is that better?
There you go, buddy.
No, Jennifer Connelly from Requiem for a Dream.
How about any Jennifer Connelly? All right, let me tell you my number one is.
We're on
number one. I already got your number one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. I haven't given you mine yet, though. You know what it is?
What is it?
Jesus.
No, stop.
Jesus.
I'm tired of this. I'm fed up with this.
Tommy Wiseau.
Wait a minute.
Holy smokes, that would be amazing.
Wait a second.
No, there's it would
my,
not.
Listen, I'm going to stick with the list that I had. You should have told me that earlier. It may have been my number one. Here's my number one. I want to live with Yoda.
Oh,
Yoda.
He would make
I'm
you
living
a better
with Yoda.
Person. Two
yeah, he
Star
would make
Wars.
Me a better
or drown you in a swamp.
Two Star Wars, but you know what? He would make me a better person because I would have the Force.
He would center your chi, sir.
Yeah,
didn't only
think
if he
of
had
it like that. I don't know.
Would you have to live at his place though?
No, we're gonna get a place together. Let me tell you why he'd be awesome.
Got a little cave.
Screw that cave. We're not gonna live in Dagobah. Okay, we're gonna live down here in Franklin. And here's something about Yoda. You know he's been saving his money.
He's living in a funky bathtub.
He's like 2,000 years old. He's full of wisdom. I'd love to take Yoda out and get him drunk, take him, see what he can come home with. Oh. I'm living with Yoda. That's my number one pick. There you go.
You made me rethink mine. Mine might be Kermit the Frog.
That is a stupid pick.
Who wouldn't want to live with Kermit the Frog?
Me.
He is awesome. You do not besmirch Kermit the Frog.
Listen, I know
fine,
it ain't.
Sir.
Listen,
I think I just changed mine to She-Ra.
Well, they're the same person, right? Kermit and Yoda? I mean.
Listen, I know it ain't easy being green, man, but I don't want to
lie to her. One's Jim Henson.
All right, guys, that's it, man. That's our episode 20. What is this?
Six.
Yeah,
okay. Every year.
That's right. Episode. It's our cleavage episode.
Right.
Right.
This was
geologic.
Frances Ha, 2012. Greta Gerwig. All right, let's go into our big reveal. And I think this is the producer pick, Adam. The Bomb Rogers.
Really?
Episode 27. It's going to be something, man. Reveal. Scared. Go.
2012 movie, Sightseers.
Sightseers.
British.
Why have I heard of this? Wait, I've heard of this.
Yep.
Why have you heard of it?
I don't know. I've heard of this.
Yep.
Never. Are you sure it's on Netflix?
Yeah, I watched it the other night.
This is something to talk about.
Yes.
Let me tell you where I heard about this. Let me just jump in here and tell you where I heard about it. I think on one occasion, one of our Twitter followers jumped in and said, hey, I watched this film, Sightseers. I want you guys to talk about it.
He's cool. Awesome.
I'll have to go back.
He or she.
I think it's a she. I'll have to go back and see
who
awesome. It was.
Hey, baby.
Well, whoever you are, mysterious Twitter
If it was
follower.
A guy, he means that as well.
That's it, man. Sightseers. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
There it is. There's going to be your episode 27. This was 26, Frances Ha.
Felt good.
Did it feel pretty good?
I enjoyed this.
I'm going to get in touch with Greta, I think.
Oh, she's going to get this.
It feels
it's
right.
Going to be red hot.
I felt a ha.
Ha as in hot.
I think you felt Frances Blah.
Yeah, Frances Blah. Nicely said.
That's nice. Actually written on his palm. Nice. He read that just now. Nice. He's been holding that joke back for the whole show.
So you're going to say Frances Blah is what you're going to still go with, right, Savage? You didn't feel the burn. You didn't feel the heat.
I couldn't feel
the quirk or the magic?
Nope.
Some things are lost on people.
All right, so that's it, man.
That's it.
That's it. All right, so there we go, guys. That's it, episode 26. Frances Ha, we'll see you next week when we queue up episode 27, Sightseers, the British film picked by our producer, Adam the Bomb Rogers. If you want to play along, it's on Netflix, too. Watch it. You can check it out with us. See if you agree or disagree next week. Until then, take care. Stay safe. Later.
Bye.
Someone else do some giving. Love.